Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
Drew, just for the love of God, man, just hit the button.
Drew.
There we go.
Help us.
There, right. We're sitting here like twiddling our thumbs. It's, come on. We got things to do. It's places to go. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back.
It's not like we talk to each other.
Well, you know, it's a little, you know.
It's anyway, a little weird. We have like 2 minutes before the show. It's weird.
It is weird. That's what I'm saying. You want to save the good stuff from when the microphones are on. I mean, come on. Make Me Smart, Thursday. That's what we are. Ready, begin.
I'm Molly Wood. It is, it has been frequently known on this program as Hollowed Out Shell Thursday, and I am not going to lie, I am in full nihilism.
Are you?
Oh, wow. Full on nihilism. Yep.
Wow.
All the way hollow.
Then you get to go first with the news, because, wow, God. Okay.
Yeah, like full on, like, what are we doing here? So since I'm pulling back the curtain a little, I thought I would make my stories related, because what I have noticed is that over the last like week and a half or so, where I at least have been like, I am not okay. And I don't know why, right? There's no externality. There's no reason. I just do not feel okay. What is the deal? And all of my friends are like, me too. And then a whole bunch of Twitter is like, dude, not okay. In fact, I responded to a thread today that just made me laugh out loud, early Make Me Smile, where this woman was like, if you are burned out, respond with a GIF of the screaming of your choice, like your favorite GIF of someone screaming. And frankly, that thread now is just giving me life. It's like people responding with just like various screams, because we are all weirdly, so many people are in this boat all at the same time, so much so that two news stories of note on this topic. One, apparently, CVS is going to start offering in-store therapy and mental health counseling.
Really?
Which is essentially, yeah, like a first, I think, in the retail industry, if you will. Yeah, it's very interesting. They're trying to fill gaps in access to mental health by piloting a counseling service in some of its retail stores, and could even reduce the cost of mental health care because it's trying to negotiate with insurance companies. Evidently, therapists are totally overbooked in this time of pandemic and kind of like free-floating anxiety, and real, obviously, like grief and suicidal thoughts and, you know, really serious mental health issues. And I just think this is such a fascinating pilot program that's also kind of a disturbing commentary on our time. I also had sent to me, it's a press release from last fall in October, and I would love to know the numbers now, but somebody had sent it and said, you know, we should definitely talk about mental health at work. And it was a piece. There was a research organization called HIBOB, HIBOB, H-I-B-O-B. HIBOB.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what I'm calling it. That said, so 93% of employees, it's like an HR firm, right? So they were like, 93% of employees have seen a direct impact from COVID in some way. Changes to their financial situation, personal or family illness, everything about your life being torn upside down, you know, that kind of stuff. When experiencing these external changes, said the report, employee satisfaction dropped 27% and mental health and well-being dropped a staggering 33%. These declines were more significant in women. They said the survey revealed that women's mental health was around 10% worse than men's, as we know. But I think we are entering a time when it is possible that the kind of like survival instinct adrenaline rush is going to fade. Like, we've just been getting by.
Is gonna fade?
Well, it's fading, But we are still, for those, like my son is still at home. There's still ways in which it's like, nope, mm-hmm. I'm still in survival mode, right? I'm still keeping it together, just going to hold it together as much as I can. But there's going to come a moment where, you know how like when you go on vacation, you get sick because you've just been holding it together so hard and like working extra and whatever. And your immune system's all ramped up to just like keep it, go. And then as soon as you let go, you fall apart. And I wonder if what I'm starting to feel, what so many of my friends are starting to feel, what this kind of generalized sense of like freak out signals is that we might be starting to fall off that cliff and that we actually have to stop. I don't know. A friend of mine put it brilliantly today. She's like, where's the brain? It's in the body. Like, is it a great mistake to call it mental health instead of health? Like, we need help. Anyway.
So let me... Okay, well, so I have some follow-up questions, if I could.
Yeah,
let
go.
Let me put on my best Michael Barbaro of the Daily hat here and say, what I hear you saying, Molly, is that things are so stressful. You know what I'm doing. Things are so stressful that you're worried you're losing your ability to cope. But at the same time, the economy's reopening, and that might actually make things worse. Is that right so far, Molly, do you think? Okay. Mm-hmm. So here's my Kai Rizdal question. I'm sorry.
No, please, I can't help back.
He made me crazy this morning. He made me crazy. Anyway, but here's what I want to know. So the question is, and look, I agree with everything you said, right? And it totally makes sense that I call it my rubber band snapping syndrome, like when you've been holding it together as you have to, and then the big project is done or whatever's finished, right? And you can't. You just... And you lose all tension in your body and you surrender yourself. Is that, do you think, a necessary step to getting us where we need to be, which is to back to some sense of doom is not upon us? Do we have to go through that, do you think? Because if so,
I mean,
that's going to suck.
I guess so. I guess maybe it is, yes, because there is still so much residual feeling that doom is still upon us. I mean, so much so that we're seeing like really interesting conversations this week about how nobody seems to want to trust that the vaccines that we've developed that are the most effective vaccines in human history, more so even than what happens when you get sick and your body creates antibodies. We don't believe that. And people are like, no, I'm still wearing my mask. Or there was a post opinion piece today about Biden's address and how it could have been an opportunity to show a lot of faith in the vaccine, since everybody in the room presumably is vaccinated, that it maybe didn't have to look mid-pandemic.
But that's the point. A whole bunch of people on the GOP side apparently are not, and we can't ask them because it's a HIPAA violation. So Biden was actually doing what the CDC says, which is when you're in a closed space with non-vaccinated people, put your damn mask on. Sorry.
Which, don't get me started about the CDC. I know. I mean, everybody's ranting about that. But this is what I mean. It's like, we're... Yeah. I don't know what woods we think exist that we could actually come out of. Maybe it's a collective realization that like, oh, we went through all of this and we are emerging more fractured. There's no like month off on the horizon, right? Like the best thing the Biden administration could do is be like, hey, everyone, you get August off. We're done for a month.
We'll start all over again.
Who doesn't need a sabbatical at this point? Yeah. But I also think it is incumbent on us. It's incumbent on employers. It's incumbent on, you know, each other, yes, but also just like everyone to understand that like getting a vaccine or going out to dinner doesn't maybe feel as good as you think it was going to. And that's all right. Like, it's okay if you're not okay, which is something I think we've said a bajillion times in the course of this podcast, but it's still true. And I think the fact that it's still true is this like cognitive
totally fair.
Mind game.
Totally
mind
fair.
Game.
Totally fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Okay. Yeah, no, look, it's real and I'm totally glad you brought it up. Okay, I'm going to get a little more mundane in mine and they're reasonably quick. Number one, I would like to point out that Twitter in its first post-Donald Trump quarter had revenue jump 28%, $1 billion coming into that company. And I just think that's interesting because everybody's like, oh my God, you banned Donald Trump, you're going to go down the toilet. No, it turns out you don't. Number two, Amazon reported quarterly profits after the bell today. They made in revenue, right? So they brought in $108 billion in 3 months. I said this on the radio today. It is oil company money. It's insane. It makes total sense, but it's insane. You pointed out in our notes, I should not forget Facebook. I'm not going to forget Facebook. Yesterday, they reported they made $26 billion in the quarter. I mean, a lot of these companies are doing really, really well. Thank you very much. All through this pandemic. All through this pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just an interesting observation, you know? Yep. So there's that. And then I've got one more. And I know everybody's heard about the speech. And I know everybody's seen the articles about Biden's economic plan and how it's going to redistribute wealth and expand the government. And, you know, the story I cited to put in the rundown was from the Journal. But you see them all over the place, right? Joe Biden inserting the government back into the economy. And I'm going to borrow techno language or tech person language and say that's a feature, not a bug, from the Biden administration. That's what they want to do. And it's important that as we mm-hmm. cover it and talk about it and think about it, that's the plan. That's the plan, and that's the bet that Joe Biden is making. He's rolling the dice in advance of the 2022 elections, saying, hey, here's what I think we ought to do, and then people will get to decide. But it's a feature, not a bug, mm-hmm. and I think we all just need to remember that as we talk about it, because he's doing it on purpose.
Yeah. Also, that it is not some new thing that was forced on him. I read a piece today that was like, let's also remember, along the lines of exactly what you're saying, most of this... You know, I think the Biden administration is sitting there being like, you know, we totally told you that this is what we were going to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This was all the plan all along. Yep. Maybe not 4 years ago, but certainly, you know, since the pandemic. Yes, this was the plan.
Yep.
Use government to help people. Yeah, right. It's interesting right. that this is such a, I mean, I guess when the, when the politics are not that interesting, that he's doing what he said he would do.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. Totally. I guess when the politics are not just like totally banana pants all day, every day, you just have to write the same story over and over like, oh my goodness, area man does what he says he's going to do. I don't really know. Let's talk about some fun things, shall we?
There he is.
There he is.
Drew Jostedt to the rescue. Okay. So mine is a little bit of a grumpy old man. Hey, you kids, get off my lawn thing. I saw an article in the Wall Street Journal today.
You?
Me? I know. Shocking. Anyway. Saw an article today in the Wall Street Journal, Rice Krispie Treats Remixed, Pro Tips and Recipes. And I would just like, oh, wait, here she is. Can you hear Willa?
I sure can.
Yeah, there she is.
Oh, Peanut.
Can you hear the squishiness of the saliva-soaked tennis ball she's got in her mouth? Anyway.
Oh, gross.
That's right. Yeah, well, it is.
She's like,
gross.
It's been 12 minutes. That's long enough.
I know. Anyway, aww. So Rice Krispie Treats Remixed by the pros. I would like to say no. I would like to say no to seedy Rice Krispie Treats with toasted almonds, sesame, poppy flax, sunflower, and fennel seeds. I would like to say no to Coke and Peanuts Rice Krispie Treats. And I would also like to say no to Chili Crisp Rice Krispie Treats. Do not mess with Rice Krispie Treats. Good God, people. It's like the New York Times putting peas in guacamole.
I'm so over the like weird food pandemic thing. Like, everybody's got too much time, and so they just have to take food and make it weirder, and that's all we have to do now? That's entertainment? Like, come on. No.
Right.
Also, anyway. Flax and fennel seed in Rice Krispies, that's appalling.
Yeah. They should be nice and chewy and gooey and all that good stuff, and then let's move on. Try to improve upon perfection.
I think I'm going to have to scamper to the corner store tonight, because now I want Rice Krispie Treats. Old school.
Yeah.
My grandmother used to make them for my brother all the time because he loves them. My grandmother, so we would drive mm-hmm. from Montana to North Dakota, I'll make this quick, and see grandma all the time, right? Like every holiday and Christmas. And my mom would always say, we're going to leave at 8, and then we'll be there around 4. And that never happened, right, in 15 years. Like we always left at 10 or 11, and we always got there at like 9 or 10 at night. And she would be like, don't drive it dark. Don't slide off the road. And then we'd slide off the road. On the ice, and then my mom would be like, don't tell grandma. Oh, and then we'd get there, and my brother would be like, grandma, we slid off the road. Anyway, no matter, even though presumably she knew this was going to happen every time that we would be late, she still, at every single visit, made a full turkey dinner, the whole shaboodle, and a big, like, 10 persons worth of Rice Krispie Treats for my brother.
Oh, that's funny. That's
every
funny.
Time.
That's great.
Yep.
That's great.
God love her. All right, I just laughed my butt off at this hilarious story today about T-Pain, the singer, realizing that for like months and months and months and maybe even longer, all these like celebrities and verified accounts have been trying to get in touch with him on Instagram DM, which is how the kids communicate, by the way, only, exclusively, yeah. constantly. And he was like, oh, there's a request folder in the messages tab that's full. He said, he wrote today in a TikTok, actually, he said, I was today years old when I found out about the request folder on Instagram that's full of celebs trying to reach me.
Oh, man.
Fergie, Viola Davis, Diplo.
No, really?
Oh, yes. Gosh. He like put up all these screenshots of people that are trying to get in touch with him. He's like, yep, I'm stupid. You're not stupid. Right, it's a bad design, T-Pain.
I'm trying to find my.
Are you gonna look and see who's trying to message you?
Well, I don't even know how to find it. I'm like, what?
Exactly. It's a bad user design, yeah. T-Pain. We see you, buddy. You also made me laugh out loud.
Totally fair.
And that's it. That is it for us today. And as usual, I feel better.
Oh,
and I hope you do too.
There they are. I have 24 requests.
Look at you. You're huge. You're huge in DMs.
24. Oh my God.
Oh, I can't wait till he finds out like it's his boss. It's like a hot job offer from the UN. Kai, we'd like you to run for president. He's like, I'm sorry I missed your message in the Instagram DMs. All right. Don't forget to sign up for the Make Me Smart newsletter for all kinds of amazing, wonderful information before we go.
We are this week, and when I say we, I mean Erica Phillips because she writes them. The White House plans to reduce methane emissions, does not involve banning hamburgers. That whole meat thing. Oh, my Lord. I don't even want to go down that road.
That was a lie.
That was a fat lie that even Fox News has backed away from, and now Kevin McCarthy says – like yesterday, it's like, oh, they're going to ban hamburgers. You can sign up by going to marketplace.org/newsletters.
We'll see you tomorrow because it will finally, despite the many times I have thought it was Friday and was not, tomorrow is and will be on the video stream for Economics on Top, the YouTube live stream at 3:30 p.m. Pacific and 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Seriously, on Tuesday? I mean...
Yeah.
I would have insisted to my dying breath that Tuesday was Friday, and it wasn't. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Tony Wagner is our producer, and Erica Phillips writes our newsletters, as we mentioned, plus our Make Me Smart explainers.
Drew Jostad was in charge of all the buttons and dials today. Ben Talladay and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. I don't know why I said Ramirez. Our senior producer is Donna Dam. The executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves. Yeah, but I don't even know.
Sitar said Rice Krispie treats are not good?
Yep.
I don't even understand. I don't understand what's happening. Can't we just share Rice Krispie treats and boba tea and get along? Come on. Their childhood is what they are.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.